house. Between them, there had been a sister 5 years older than Kumiko. At the age of 3, however, Kumiko had been sent from Tokyo to distant Niigata to be raised for a time by her grandmother. Kumiko's parents later told her that this was done because she had been a sickly child, and they thought she would benefit from the clean air of the countryside. But she never quite believed this. As far as she herself could remember, she'd never been physically weak. She'd never suffered from any major illnesses, and no one in her Niigata home seemed especially concerned about her health. "I'm sure it was just some kind of excuse," Kumiko once told me. Her doubts had been reinforced by something she heard from a relative. Apparently, there had been a long-standing feud between Kumiko's mother and grandmother, and the decision to bring Kumiko to Niigata was the outcome of a truce they had concluded. By offering her up for a time, Kumiko's parents had quelled her grandmother's rage, and by having a grandchild in her possession, the grandmother had obtained concrete confirmation of her ties with her son, Kumiko's father. In other words, Kumiko had been a kind of hostage. "Besides," Kumiko said to me, "they already had 2 other children. Their 3rd one was no great loss to them. Not that they were planning to get rid of me. I think they just figured it wouldn't be too hard on such a young child to be sent away. Probably they didn't give it much thought. It was just the easiest solution to the problem. Can you believe it? I don't know why, but they had not the slightest idea what something like that can do to a small child." She was raised by her grandmother in Niigata from the age of 3 to 6. Nor was there anything sad or twisted about the life she led in the country. Her grandmother was crazy about her, and Kumiko had more fun playing with her cousins, who were closer in age to herself, than with her own brother and sister. She was finally brought back to Tokyo the year she was to enter primary school. Her parents had become nervous about the lengthening separation from their daughter, and they insisted on bringing her back before it was too late. In a sense, though, it was already too late. In the weeks following the decision to send her back, her grandmother became more and more overwrought. She stopped eating and could hardly sleep. One minute she would be hugging and squeezing little Kumiko with all her might, and the next she would be slapping her arm with a ruler, hard enough to raise welts. One minute she would be saying she didn't want to let her go, that she would rather die than lose her, and the next she would tell her to go away, that she never wanted to see her again. In the foulest language imaginable, she would tell Kumiko what a terrible woman her mother was. She even tried to stab herself in the wrist with a pair of scissors. Kumiko could not understand what was happening around her. The situation was simply too much for her to comprehend. What she did then was to shut herself off from the outer world. She closed her eyes. She closed her ears. She shut her mind down. She put an end to any form of thinking or of hoping. The next several months were a blank. She had no memory of anything that happened in that time. When she emerged, she found herself in a new home. It was the home where she should have been all along. Her parents were there, her brother and her sister. But it was not her home. It was simply a new environment. Kumiko became a difficult, taciturn child in these new surroundings. There was no one she could trust, no one she could depend upon unconditionally. Even in her parents' embrace, she never felt entirely at ease. She did not know their smell. It made her uneasy. She even hated it at times. In the family, it was only towards her sister that she began with difficulty to open up. Her parents despaired of ever getting through to her. Her brother hardly knew she existed. But her sister understood the confusion and loneliness that lay behind her stubborn moods. She stayed with Kumiko through it all, slept in the same room with her, talked with her, read to her, walked with her to school, helped her with her homework. If Kumiko spent hours huddled in the corner of her room in tears, the sister would be there, holding her. She did everything she could to find a way into Kumiko's heart. Had she not died from food poisoning the year after Kumiko returned from Niigata, the situation would have been very different.
"If my sister had lived, things might have been better at home," Kumiko said. "She was just a little girl of 11. but she was the heart of the household. Maybe if she hadn't died, all of us would have been more normal than we are now.